This morning we talked about the love of God and just want to kind of complete some of those thoughts on tonight. And one thing that I found it very interesting about the love of God is that the apostles would encourage the church in the love of God. And remember, we discussed on this morning just very briefly how the love of God are connected to the commandments of God. And what did John say in 1 John 5 and verse number 3? Now, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. Notice how they're connected one to another. Turn your Bibles to the 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 11 through 14 beginning. We're going to start here because the apostles would encourage the brethren in the love of God. And I thought about that as I was putting some of these thoughts together this week and how we're supposed to be encouraging one another in the love of God, in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ. We ought to be each other's best supporters, if you will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse number 11, I put in my notes powerful point right here. Just a powerful thought process that we see as Paul is closing out this second, maybe even third letter to the Corinthian brethren. And he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be mature. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Notice the three things already that he tells them to be. Be mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And notice this. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, can you imagine receiving this letter from the Apostle Paul? Can you imagine receiving these words of exhortation, words of encouragement? And friends, words mean something. Words are very encouraging. And notice he says, and the God of love. But then notice what he goes on to say in verse number 12. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Notice the construction there. The construction in verse number 11, we see in the love of the God of love, meaning the source of love. And then the construction in verse number 14 is very interesting, the love of God. Turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Look at something real quick. I love this construction. You know, when you're studying the Bible, you want to find certain things like this that kind of stand out at you, if you will. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7, we see the same construction, but we see it in the reverse order. Notice in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Drop down to verse number 9. Those things, remember he just told them what they ought to be thinking on, okay? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, first he said the peace of God. Then he said the God of peace. Going back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 and verse 14, here we see, and the God of love, and then we see the love of God. It goes hand in hand. Those are beautiful passages that ought to give us great encouragement. And here we understand that he's encouraging them to remain in the love of God. Now notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice that text there. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see something very encouraging as well. Paul was consistent in encouraging the brethren in the love of God. And friends, we ought to do likewise. We ought to be encouraging one another in the love of God. Notice, start at verse number 1. He tells them in verse number 1, pray for us. Why should we pray for you, Paul? That the word of the Lord may have free course. Remember, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. So if we're praying that Paul would have free course, he's asking them, pray for us. We ought to be having that same prayer. We ought to be praying for one another that the Word of God has free course through us. That's what we ought to be praying for. Notice verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Notice why? Because all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish him and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. Notice verse 5. and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into, notice what they have to look forward to, the patient waiting of Christ or for Christ. First, notice this. The love of God teaches us certain things to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to be faithful, to keep the commands of God. Friends, God's love demonstrates that to us in our lives. Notice 1 John 2. We kind of touched on this morning. I want to touch on it one more time if you can. In 1 John chapter 2, we notice some things as it relates to the love of God and what it ought to be doing in our lives. It ought to be maturing us. It ought to be perfecting us. Friends, you can't go to the Word of God with an honest heart, Luke 8 and verse 15, and not get better. Did you hear that? Should I say it again? There's no way you can go to the Word of God with an honest heart and not get better. It is possible to be ever learning but never come into the knowledge of the truth. But those of us who have honest hearts have a desire to hear what thus saith the Lord. And notice what he says in 1 John chapter 2. Look at verses 3 through 5. And hereby we do know, notice this, that we know him. How, John, if we keep his commandments? How do I know? I can actually know that I know God? Yes. I don't have to guess about this. I don't have to think about it. I can know that I know God. Why? I'm keeping his commandments. Unfortunately, there are some teachers, even in Texas, who are saying, well, you know, we really can't know. I mean, we're not really commandment keepers. God hasn't given us some law. No. If you love God, you keep his commandments. You keep his laws. You do what he has said. Notice the latter part of that verse, or verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. Notice what John says. Now, when I was growing up, this was a serious word. He's a liar. That was a serious word. You call a person a liar, you better have some proof about that. John says that he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keep his word in him, verily, now notice, if I keep the word of God in my heart, if you keep the word of God in your heart, if anyone keeps the word of God in their heart, notice what dwells in them. Verily is the love of God perfected, mature. Teleos is the word there. And what a beautiful blessing to know that if I keep the word of God, I'm growing. I'm growing in grace. I'm growing in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hereby know we that we are in him. Can you imagine those Gnostics during that particular time and how they were saying that was no way that Jesus came in the flesh because deity could not put on humanity. Well, there's no way that we can be saved. Here, if we keep the commandments of God, we can know that we're saved. You don't have to guess. You can know. Look at 1 John 5. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. By this we know that we love the children of God. We love Christians. We love God's people when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, you don't get a clearer verse than this one right here. For this is the love of God. What's the love of God? That we keep his commandments. And guess what? His commandments are not too much for us. They're not burdensome. Which means that I can go to the Word of God on any subject. And God says, this is how I want you to behave. This is how I want you to act. This is how I want you to be. And John says, it's not too much. It's not too much. I'm reminded of Jeremiah 6, verse 6, 16, I believe it is. It is. And when Jeremiah told the people of God, he said, stand ye in the ways and see the old path and walk therein. What did they say, Royce? We will not walk therein. It was too much for them. Let us never have that attitude. Look at Jude. Look at Jude. Look at verse 21. Notice, look at this exhortation. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine hearing these letters read? Oh, friends, you are hearing them. You're hearing them from the pen of the inspired writer themselves. Look at verse 21. Notice the security that the Christian have. Notice the security that every child of God has. The exhortation, the admonishment. Keep yourselves where? In the love of God. Guess what? The love of God is a location. We can know where we stand. One brother, Michael Light, as a matter of fact, preacher in Bangs, he said, we bow down to Jesus Christ and the line ends there. I love that. We stand in Christ and that's where we stand. Nowhere else. We can keep ourselves in the love of God. We ought to be, when we call one another and text one another, we ought to say, stay faithful. Be encouraged. Do what's right. Stay in the love of God. Keep your family in the love of God. Keep them in the commandments of God. If you can't find it, if you can't read it, don't do it. Notice the exhortation at the end of this passage. So when one keeps himself in the love of God, now he's looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto what? Eternal life. Headed toward eternal life. I believe the word unto there is the Greek word eis. Going toward eternal life. What a blessing. What a blessing. Turn back to 1 John 3. Have you considered the love of God being duplicated? Can we duplicate the love of God? I believe we can. The Bible teaches that we can. In 1 John 3:16-17, notice, hereby perceive. The word perceive there means to become aware, to come to realize, to understand. Let's put that word in there as we read, and I bet we'll have a greater appreciation for this. Hereby we become aware. We come to realize what, John? The love of God. Why? Because he laid down his life for us. I was watching a television show after I was looking at those old sorry Cowboys win. Yeah, it hurt me. And as I was watching this show, this husband and wife was having problems. And as they were having problems, she didn't want to be with him anymore. And the reason why is because he took her for granted. You think sometimes we take for granted Jesus laying down his life for us? Friends, it's because Jesus laid down his life for us, we have life. It's that simple. Now notice what John says right after that. Notice what he says. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Brother Bonner, that depends on what brother that is. That depends on what sister that is. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. It's interesting that he goes on to say in verse 17 how one could lay down their lives. But whoso hath this world's good seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him. Notice this question. Notice what he connects the love of God to. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Brian, I don't know about you, but that's a powerful text. The way that John set the brethren up by inspiration, talking about how God gave his son and how his son gave his life, and there he says that we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Then he says, how? How? You know, you can teach a young child when they're toddlers this passage. And the way you teach them that is by saying, you know, share. They may not understand all of the intricacies, the ins and outs about it. But then when we begin to develop and mature and grow, and we begin to develop and apply this text, and we see a brother or sister who have need. I'm talking about a need. I'm not talking about one who's wasting their money on addictions and now they run out of money at the end of the month. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who really have a need in the church. And you see that they have a need. And you have it. He says you ought to take care of that. That's the text. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I can understand that, because here God saw that mankind had a need. You have his sins removed, washed away, taken away. I got to send somebody. I got to send Jesus. That's exactly what he did. Jesus giving his life should compel us to give ourselves to help our brethren. That's one thing I love about the Lord's church, especially here. They're willing to do that. We ought to always have that mentality. Have the mentality that we are loving one another, willing to do what we can. Notice Titus chapter 3. Jesus was willing to come. God was willing to send him. Remember earlier it said that he saw that we had a need because of our sin problem. He sent the Son. Look at starting at verse 1. Let's grab some of this context. Paul, he tells Titus, his son in the faith, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, those in authority, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Notice that attitude. For we ourselves, notice, I love how Paul puts himself in the same equation. For we ourselves, Paul, you was like this, Paul? I was like this. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers of various lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hating, even hating one another. Notice what he says in verse 4. But after the kindness and what? The love of God. Oh, this phrase is all over the scriptures. You can't get away from the love of God. You can't get away from his word. Can't get away from him sending his son. Can't get away from him giving his life. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved. There it is. He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, baptism, and obedience to the gospel. The more I thought about these passages and have been thinking about them over the years, I love how Paul puts himself in that equation and how we could put ourselves in the same equation. And we can look to God and say, thank you, Father, for loving me enough to send your son, even though I sinned against you. Friends, let me remind you that we serve a great and awesome and most holy God. God is good to us. You know that we can recognize when people don't have the love of God in them. I thought this was pretty interesting. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 11, verse 37 through 43. Scary passages right here. I mean, a person can tell themselves, I love God. I got the love of God within my heart. Yet Jesus, as he was talking to these Pharisees, these religious leaders, they were responsible for teaching the people, being an example unto them. As a matter of fact, they were teaching what was right. Jesus even told his disciples to observe what they say, but don't do what they're doing. That's interesting. In Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 43, these exegetical studies and word studies, and it's amazing how the Word of God just kind of leads you into the study naturally. Notice verse 37 through 43. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee begged him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, listen to this, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And notice the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of robbery, that's ravening, and wickedness? You fools, did not that he that made that which is outside make that which is inside too? That's interesting. God didn't just make the flesh. God made the soul and the spirit that lives inside the flesh. That's the point he's making right there. That's interesting. And notice what he says. But rather give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you, but woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, listen to this, and pass over justice. The King James uses the word judgment, the ability to not only see what was right and wrong, but to be able to judge it according to a standard. And the love of God. You pass over judgment and the love of God. You pass over judgment and the commandments of God. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees. For you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplace, so forth and so on. Notice they were leaving off the love of God. Jesus identified that within them. They were so concerned about the external, but they were not concerned about the internal. I thought that was interesting because as a man of God, we should always desire, as women of God, we should always desire to not only clean the outside, but the inside. Rather, we ought to be focused on the inside and allow the outside to take care of itself. Look at John 5. We're quickly coming to some type of closure. Jesus recognized that God's love wasn't within them. They're hearing the word of God. They're bearing witness, and they see things that they should, the religious leader should have been saying, okay, this is the Christ. This is the one we ought to be following. He says, search the scriptures, John 5:39. For them, in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me. Listen to this. They won't come to him that they might have life. I receive not honor from them or from men, but I know you. Notice that ye have not the love of God in you. Hold on. Can you imagine telling someone after talking with them maybe for a couple of weeks and trying to get them to see that they need to be more faithful to the word of God and keeping the word of God in their lives, and then you muster up the gumption and love for them, say, you know what, you don't have the love of God in your heart. Can you imagine how they would respond to you? I could just see someone getting furious with pride. How dare you? How dare you say that to me? Jesus told them that. Can you imagine people who really love you saying, no, you're not living according to the word of God. In essence, you're not living, you don't have the word, you don't have the love of God in your heart. I was telling Evelyn on the way here, said years ago I was talking to Joshua Rodriguez, and him and I was talking about some things, And we were talking about false teachers, and he says after a while of talking to false teachers and reasoning with them and trying to get them to see what thus saith the Lord, he says, I just have one question for them. I said, what question is that? Do you love God? And he said, oh, you're talking about a person getting mad. Do you love God? Why don't you love God? You're talking about I love God? Then allow his word to govern your life. Amen, friends. There's no way that one can say, I love God, but the word of God is not dwelling within them. They're not living according to the word of God. Jesus calls these religious leaders out to the carpet. He says in verse 42, but I know you, John 2, 24 and 25. He knew all men. He knew what was in their hearts. We know men by their fruit. Their fruit don't lie. I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, you'll receive him. He says, I know you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I know you. Let's end with a couple of things. I thought this was interesting. Ephesians chapter 3. It's interesting that the love of God and the love of Christ go hand in hand. Makes sense. They're one. They have the same mindset. Different roles, of course. But they speak the same things. There's no division within them. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 19. Remember, this is in his prayer. He's thanking God for Jews and Gentiles being in one body. We ought to be thanking God every day. Or when we think about it, Father, thank you for establishing your church. Thank you for establishing your people who are spiritual Israel, Galatians chapter 6, I believe it is. Thank you for allowing me to be in a place where I can live covered by the blood of Christ. He's thanking God. He says, for this reason, this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Drop down to verse number 18. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know. Brian, we can know. We don't have to guess. We don't have to grope in the dark. We don't have to be feeling around. We can know. We can know. The reason why I'm harping on this may not even affect none of y'all. But it's affecting some people. Unfortunately, people act like they just don't know. Some of them are our brethren. They act like they just don't know. I just can't know. Well, if I can know what some teacher or professor is saying and kind of find some validity in it, I ought to be able to know this. God is not trying to see anyone in hell. He wants to see all men saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I can know. And to know the love of God, which what? Passeth knowledge. It is mind-blowing. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's probably one of the most encouraging verses that I've come across in years. Here, Paul is motivating the people of God. I wish I had time to deal with all of verses 11 through 16, but you go back and you study it on your own time. I guarantee you'll find great joy in it. Look at verse 14. For the love of God, or the love of Christ, I'm sorry, constrains. The idea of constrain is the idea of a cow chute. It's what ranchers, they take their cows and they lead them to the chute and it squeezes them to a point where they can inject medicine into them. That's interesting. The love of God constrains us. It squeezes us and it sets us still long enough to inject something. Woo! That's good stuff right there, boy. The problem is sometimes we run around so much, we don't sit still long enough for God to inject His Word of God in us. Slow down. Slow down. God is not going to take a syringe and He's not going to chase after you and stick you. No, you gotta slow down and be squeezed by the love of Christ. It squeezes us so He can inject in us the Word of God. It's a powerful passage. I'll leave you with this. Romans 15. Some of y'all ain't looking right, so I'm going to let you go. You go home and pout if you want to. Let's be like Paul and let's encourage the brethren to strive. Not by yourself, not with the world, not with your sorority, not with your Facebook friends, but with the church. Strive. Notice verse 30. Now I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. Here we've been talking about the love of God, now then the love of Christ, and now the love of the Spirit. They're all in this together. That you strive together with me in your prayers. Wow. Father, thank you for being patient with us. We need it. Sit still a little bit. Let God inject your mind with His Word. Let God squeeze you. Inject you. Put down all those other gadgets. Pick this up. Pick up the mind of God. Pick up the love of God. You'll start seeing. You'll start seeing some things in your life that needs to get cleaned up. And one thing I love about God, and I love about the Word of God, Royce, it's a two-edged sword. He's not like some of these crooks on these streets. They sit there, they mug you, and they'll cut you with a knife and leave you on the ground bleeding out, half dead. No, when God cuts you, He got something coming right back to heal you. It's the God we serve. So let God cut you. Because He's the God that knows how to seal you back up. If no one else on the face of the earth loves you, God does. What a blessing to know that. Maybe not a child of God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of your sins, confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, be buried. Not sprinkled, not poured upon, buried in water for the remission of your sins. And then here comes the love of God. He said, I'm going to add you to my son's church. You be faithful even to the point of death, I'll give you the crown of life. Maybe you're a child of God and you have the attitude, well, I know God loves me, but the people who are following Him don't seem to be loving me. You know, if Jesus leaves the church, then I'll be kind of shaken. I'll probably have some problems. If Jesus left the church, I think we would all have problems. But you know, when people leave the church, when people in the church mistreat you, that's not your key to leave. As long as Jesus stays in the church, Ephesians 3:20 and 21, I think you ought to sit tight. He's coming back for it one day. The bride, His bride. As we stand, as we sing to save His invitation.